This is lesson HBS 130, and the title of this lesson is The Body of Christ, Part 4. We've been doing a series on the body of Christ, and we're going to continue that series now. And I'd like to go back and read our text for this series, which comes from the 14th chapter of John. And let's start with verse 10. Jesus says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The works that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Let's skip to verse 12 now. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Let's go back to verse 10. I'd like to bring something out here that I haven't mentioned before. When you read this verse and you think about what it's saying, it's fairly clear in one sense, but in another sense, I've always had this question. Let me just bring out the question that I've had and see if you've had the same question, and let's explain it. It says, "Believest thou not," Jesus is speaking here, and he's speaking to these people, and he said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" Now, this is the part I want to bring out. "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." Well, that's pretty clear. The works that he's speaking, he's not speaking of himself. Someone's helping him. And then he clarifies this. "But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Well, wait a minute. I thought he was talking about the words he was speaking. Sounds like he changed thoughts in midstream here, doesn't it? He said, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." Okay, we're talking about the words. Okay, Jesus, what about them? Who does speak them? "But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the," not words, "works." And in my own mind, I've always had a little question there. I mean, in one sense, he's talking about words, and then and the Father's helping him, giving him those words, and that's fine, I understand that. But then he says, "The Father that dwelleth in me doeth the works," and I understand that. However, he's talking about words, and he says, "but." And so it makes you think that the thought he's completing here is about words. Are you with me so far? Am I making this clear? Because he says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." Okay, I understand that. "But the Father that dwelleth in me, he," you'd think he'd say, "speaketh the words," but he says, "doeth the works." So what's going on here? Well, in doing a little research on this verse, the key word here seems to be "but." And I looked that up in the Greek concordance, and it's a little word, D-E. Don't know how it's pronounced, but that's the letters that spell it, D-E, probably D. Well, I looked it up, and you know what? That little word, D-E, that is translated "but" in this verse, is translated "and" 90% of the time in the New Testament. So let's go back and read this verse again and substitute in "and" for the "but." Because after all, this little word, Greek word, D-E, is translated "and" 90% of the time. So here we go. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. And the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Now, doesn't it make better sense? It makes perfect sense. Jesus is talking about two different things here. He's saying, "The words that I speak unto you, I don't speak of myself. And the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." So he's saying both the Father gives him the words, and the Father doeth the works. Now it's perfectly clear. Okay, I just wanted to clear that little thing up. It really helped me a lot. Then he goes on in verse 12, as we read before, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, the section I'd like to talk about right now, the little point I'd like to talk about is, believers are called to do the works of Jesus. Now, this is not a new thought because I've been talking about this quite a bit in the last few lessons. But this is my point in this little section here. of the outline, if you're following the outline. Believers are called to do the works of Jesus. How do we know that? Well, I just read you here, verse 12. It says, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works even shall he do." So who are the people that are going to be doing these works? Those that believe on Jesus. If you're a believer on Jesus, and all of you listening to these lessons virtually are, then you're the ones that are being talked about here. Now let's take a second witness. Turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. "And Jesus said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." All right, now listen to this. "And these signs shall follow them that" what? Those believe, that believe. Again, it's believers that are going to do these signs, whatever they are, and we'll find out what those are. But I just want to point out here that in both cases, Jesus is talking about believers. If you're a believer, he's talking about you doing these works that he did. If you're a believer, he's talking about these signs following you. And what are they here? "In Jesus' name," he says, "in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And down in verse 20, "And then they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and for confirming the word with signs following." The signs that he was talking about up in verse 17. My point here is to show that once again, Jesus is talking about believers doing these works. So, the first point in our lesson today is believers are called to do the works of Jesus. Now let's move on to our second point. Well, some people might say, well, I see here that believers are called to do the works of Jesus, but it doesn't say all believers are called to do the works of Jesus. It just said believers will be the ones that will do these works. You see my point? Nope, you can't weasel out of it that easily, okay? So let's take a little section here, section 2 in our outline, and talk about which believers will do these works. Let's turn for our first example here to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to find out, folks, that we're going to spend a lot of time in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, because these are the three places in the New Testament where it covers most comprehensively the works that believers are going to do and the ministries that God has given them to do these works. So let's talk about now which believers will do the works. So far we've learned that believers are the ones that are going to be doing the works, but I'm not going to give you any outs here. We're going to find out just which believers are going to do these works. Now turn to Romans chapter 12 and let's read verses, start with verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me," and this is Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit is speaking to us as believers, "I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." And we're going to go on and show that this every man he's talking about is the one that he gives these special gifts, callings, office, or ministries in the body of Christ. Okay? So let's go on. We're talking here about he's given to every man the measure of faith, and we're going to find out what the measure of faith he's giving every man and why they need that faith. Let's go on to verse 4. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many," talking about the body of Christ, "are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the graces given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Okay, now, let's go back and bring out the point I want to bring out here. What is he talking about in verse 3 when he says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Well, why? In what regard? Well, he's going to tell us in the verses following. In other words, he's going to tell us about certain gifts that are given to the body of Christ. And because these gifts are given to the body of Christ and are nothing they've earned, they are gifts, we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think if we're for whatever gift we've been given, but to think soberly according to as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What measure of faith? Why, the measure of faith to work these gifts. Well, how do you know that, Mike? Well, let's go on and read again what we just read here. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy how? According to the proportion of faith. See, he's talking about above in verse 3 about the faith to work these gifts that every member of the body of Christ has. Okay, so that every man he's talking about in verse 3 are the members of the body of Christ, and every one of them, all members, it says in verse 4, have some of these gifts. Okay? And why do they need faith? Because you need faith to work these gifts. And where does that faith come from? Well, it says God has dealt to every man that has these gifts, that he's dealt these gifts to, a measure of faith to operate the gift that he's been given. Does it make sense to you now? I think it makes perfect sense. Now, one more thing I'd like to bring out here. It says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. What I'm taking out now is the words in italics, because these are not in the original Greek. I think you all know that when you see something in italics in your scripture, it means that these were added, the translators added these for clarification. All right? And sometimes it's a little clear if we leave them out, because the Holy Spirit knew what he was doing when he gave Paul and the rest of the people that he had write the New Testament these words. And sometimes these words that are added do help, but sometimes they take a little bit away from what it really means. So let's go on and read this passage then and take out these words like, let us prophesy, because he's already told you he's talking about prophecy, and it'll make some things clearer. All right, I'm going to go back now and read, starting with verse 6, and take out the words that are in italics that are added by the translators. All right, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, on ministering, or he that teacheth, on teaching, or he that exhorteth, on exhortation, he that giveth, with simplicity, he that ruleth well, with diligence, he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Okay, now, what am I trying to get across here? I'm trying to get across the fact that in each case here, God is talking about faith being dealt to the body of Christ to operate in certain gifts. How do I know that? Because verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, you could add in here, according to the proportion of our faith on ministering, or he that teaches according to the proportion of faith he's been giving on teaching, or he that exhorteth according to the proportion of faith he's given on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, I think this is making more sense. And I don't want to confuse anybody, but this is perfectly clear when you read it the way God intended here for it to be interpreted. And here's what he's trying to get across, okay? What he's trying to say here is that he's given us some grace. You might even say gifts up in verse 3. Because as you read on through this chapter, it becomes apparent that this is the grace he's talking about, the grace to work these gifts. So let's go on and read it now, knowing what we have just learned. Starting again in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself, remember we're talking about gifts now that he's giving us, more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Why, Lord? Because I've given to every man the measure of faith to work these gifts. Not the same gifts, but some gift. Okay? We don't all have the same gifts. And then he tells us this further on in verse 6 when he talks about gifts differing. Now let's read on. For as we have many members in one body, in other words, implying that all members are a little different and have a different office. For as we have many members in one body, and listen, all members have not the same office. He's telling us there are many members in the body of Christ. And each member has a different office. He puts it this way, all members have not the same office. Okay? So he's given us gifts, he's given them to every man, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the particular grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let's prophesy according to the proportion of faith God gives us to prophesy. I'm just adding a little here to clarify it. Or ministry, let's minister according to the proportion of faith he's given us to perform that ministry. Or he that teaches, let him perform to the proportion of faith that God's given him to teach. Or he that exhorteth, let him exhort to the proportion of faith God's given him to exhort. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So, my point here in Romans, right now, my point is to show we're talking about which believers will do these works. And my point here is to show that every man, all right, every believer will do some works, some of these works, okay? It's not some believers are going to do the works of Jesus, but every believer will do some works of Jesus. Not all of them, but some. And it's up to us, and we'll talk about this later, to find out which gifts have been given to each one of us. So here in Romans, we see that every man will be doing some of the works of Jesus. Every man being every believer. Now let's go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and read some more about this. Let's get some more information about which believers will be doing this work. Even if we just had Romans 12, we'd know that every believer will do some of these works. But I want to really nail this down. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and read let's start with verse 1 and just read on for a little while here. I want you to see in verse 1 that we're talking about here spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. All right? Now let's get down to verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God that worketh all in all. You see that? These gifts, God works all these gifts in all of us. This is in verse 6. All believers. Because how do I know he's talking about believers? Go back to verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. Brethren means believers, okay? You who are believers, have brothers and sisters in Christ. So he's talking here in verse 1 about believers. And he's talking also about spiritual gifts. And he says in verses 4 through 6, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which works all of these gifts, operations, and administrations in all. So here we see that God worketh these gifts in all the brethren, because that's who he's talking about. All right, let's keep reading. Next verse. But the manifestation of the Spirit, and what are these manifestations? Well, we learn back in the first few verses that they're called spiritual gifts. Remember that? We saw this in verses 1 and 4. We're talking about gifts, all right? Now, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Which every man is he talking about? All the brethren. So here we see, again, it's all, every man. We saw every man in Romans. We see all in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We see every man again in verse 7. Now let's go to verse 11. But all these, talking about the gifts, worketh that one and same, self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. There we see every man again. So far we've seen every man is given gifts in Romans 12. We've seen God worketh all in all the brethren in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 12. We see in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, every man. We see in verse 11, every man again. And if we go down to verse 18, we see that now hath God set in the members every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. And we're speaking here still about the gifts and manifestations and administrations of the Lord. Folks, that's pretty convincing that it's every believer, not just some believers, that are called to certain callings, gifts, or ministries in the body of Christ. And I want to emphasize this because some Christians have the mistaken idea that when Jesus said that we're to do the works that he did, they're thinking about the pastors and the prophets and the apostles and the evangelists and the teachers. They're going to be the ones doing these works. And my job here today, the thing that God has put on my spirit is, Mike, go tell the believers, all the believers, that I'm talking to all of them. I've given to each one of them certain specific gifts, anointings, and faith to operate in these gifts. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what some of these gifts, anointings, callings, and ministries are in the body of Christ. But today, I want to emphasize the fact that you're all called if you're a believer, every single one of you. Now let's go on and really nail this down one more place and turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and let's look and start reading here in let's start with verse 1, Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit again, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, who is Paul talking about walking in the vocation wherewith ye are called? Who do you suppose he's talking about here? Well, it's the one he's writing the letter to, the Ephesians. Let's go back to verse 1 in chapter 1 and see who he's talking to. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Well, you are if you're a believer. Are you a saint? Well, you are if you're a believer. So God has written this book to believers. We all know that. The epistles are written to the church, right? But I just want to emphasize the fact that whenever you read the epistles, They're written to the church. They're written to believers. So let's go back and read again verse 1 in chapter 4. And I want you to think about the fact that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, if you're a believer. If you're out there listening to this lesson and you're a believer, verse 1 is written to you. Let's read it again. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, believers, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We're talking about vocations here, folks. We're talking about some calling or office or ministry God has given to every believer. And here's how he wants them to walk. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That with all lowliness sounds like what we heard back in Romans chapter 12 when he talked about these gifts. And he said, for I say through the grace given unto me, verse 3 of Romans 12, to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Doesn't that sound like what we're reading here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, when he said we're supposed to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness? Doesn't that sound like not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think? This is the same thing, folks. He's still talking about gifts here. He's talking about walking in these vocations wherewith we've been called, with all lowliness. In other words, not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. With meekness, with long-suffering, putting up, that was what forbearing means, one another, putting up with one another in love. Sometimes, folks, we have to put up with one another, don't we? But we're supposed to do it in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of Christ. You see, the Spirit wants us to walk in love always. And when we do that, we're keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of Christ. All right. Now, I want to show still in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're all called. You see, in verse 1, it says, to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Who's the ye? All believers. We went back to verse 1 in chapter 1 of Ephesians and found out this is written to believers. So all believers are called to a certain vocation in which we're supposed to walk with lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, putting up with one another in love. Okay? So again, in verse 1, it says we're supposed to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. He didn't just say where some of you believers are called. He just said wherewith ye are called. And finally, let's jump down here to verse 7 where it says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Folks, he's talking about gifts here. And he's saying that every one of us has been given grace to operate in some gift or gifts or callings, offices, or ministries, whatever you want to call them. But it says here again, every one of us, every single one of us. And he goes on and describes what some of these gifts are. And I'll read it. Starting with verse 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. See, we're talking about gifts here. We're talking about vocations in the body of Christ. Let's skip down and see what some of these gifts are in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. How long? Till we all come into a unity of the faith and of a knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So here again, we see that every believer has been called to do these works that Jesus was talking about back in John chapter 14, when he said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and even greater works shall he do, because I go unto the Father." So back there, we learned that believers are going to be doing these works. In this section, we've learned that every believer is going to be doing some of these works. Now, I'm not saying that every believer is going to be doing all of the works that Jesus did. No, that's not true, because we've been giving these gifts in a measure. And the Bible tells us, and we'll go through this later, Jesus has been given the Spirit without measure. In other words, he ministered in all the gifts. But we're not going to do that individually. We will, as the body, in totality, minister in all the gifts. But individually, we each have specific gifts, callings, offices, or ministries that we have been called and anointed to operate in with faith. And he gives us the faith to operate these gifts. If you've been given a gift, he'll also give you the faith to operate in this gift. Okay, the point here then is that God has given to every Christian an anointing and a faith to operate in some specific gifts or callings or offices or ministries in the body of Christ. And folks, it's up to us to seek, find, and then operate in the specific gifts, callings, offices, or ministries he's called each one of us to. Now, we've talked that believers are called to do the works of Jesus. We've talked about which believers will do these works, and that's all believers. Now let's talk about which works will believers do. All right. Let's just speak about, first of all, the body of Christ as a whole. For the body of Christ as a whole, all the works of Jesus will be done, and even greater works, as it talked about, as we talked about in John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said, "The works that I do shall ye do also, and even greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto the Father." So, which works will believers do? Well, for the whole body, talking about the whole body in totality, they will do all the works that Jesus did, plus some even greater works, and even a couple of different works, which I'll mention briefly here. We'll find out later that some of the works that believers do today are tongues and interpretation of tongues. All right? And the baptism in the Holy Spirit, believers that receive this special second experience in the Lord, the first experience being salvation, the believers who receive this second experience called the baptism in the Holy Ghost will speak in tongues. Now, this is something that is specific to this New Testament dispensation. Jesus, we have no record when Jesus was on earth doing this. So this is a work that will be done by believers who are baptized in the Holy Ghost that wasn't even done by Jesus. So, what am I saying here? Which works will believers do? Well, for the whole body, in totality, all the works that Jesus did, plus some greater works, and we talked about those earlier, greater works being things like ministering salvation to people, ministering the baptism of the Holy Ghost to people. These are things that Jesus didn't do, because he hadn't risen from the dead yet. And obviously you can't lead someone to the Lord until Jesus has paid the price for their sins. And the same with the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And the different works I just talked about are speaking with tongues, diverse tongues, we'll talk about that a little bit later, and tongues and interpretation of tongues. So these are even some different works. So which works will believers do? For the whole body, in totality, all the works that Jesus did, plus some greater works and even a couple of different works. Now, let's talk about for individual members of the body of Christ. Which works will these believers do? Which works will these members do? Well, That's what I'd like to spend the rest of this lesson talking about, really. And that is, what individual gifts, what gifts, ministries, offices, or callings are given to individual members of the body of Christ? Well, of course, we all have the Great Commission. Every believer, every member of the body of Christ is intended by the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill the Great Commission, which stated in Mark, I could just quote it here, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. Okay? So, that is the Great Commission, and all individual members and the body of Christ as a whole will have that ministry to perform. That's given to everyone. But there are some specific works that Jesus has called you to do, us to do, members of the body of Christ to do. And we're going to talk now about which works these believers, these specific individual believers will do. Which specific works will individual believers do? All right, let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 4 and start there. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we're seeing here that individual members of the body of Christ have specific individual works that they'll be called to do. And none of us will be called, all of us will have different things to do. That is, no believers will all exercise the same works, because we're all different members of the body of Christ. We all have different functions in the body of Christ. So it says in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing. See, in verse 4 it said, all members have not the same office. In verse 6 we see that we have then gifts differing, according to the grace that is given to each one of us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So we're talking here about several specific gifts, callings, offices, or ministries in the body of Christ. And we found out here that all members won't have these same gifts, callings, or ministries. But each one of us will have different ones. To one will be called maybe to be to prophesy. To another, to teach. To another, to exhort. To another, to give. Now, that's a special gift of giving. We're all called to give, but we can talk about this a little bit later. But some people have a specific gift of giving. He that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. The point I'm trying to make here is there is a lot of different works that believers are called to do. But each member of the body of Christ has some specific gifts, ministries, callings, or offices that they're called to fulfill. And we all won't all have the same ones, because it says here, as I said in verse 4, all members have not the same office. And in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And up above in verse 3, it talks about the faith that God gives us to operate in these gifts. And it is in verse 6, we'll have gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith that God has given us to operate in that gift. And you could go on and say that about the rest of these gifts too. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering and minister in that gift of ministering, whatever it might be, to the proportion of faith God gives us to do this. Or he that teaches, let him minister according to the proportion of faith that God gives him to teach. Or he that exhorteth, let him exhort to the proportion of faith that God gives him to operate in this gift. And so on. You see, the thing that God calls each one of us to do, He will empower us with the faith and the office and the calling and the gift to operate in that specific ministry gift, calling, or office. Okay, so we see here, which works will believers do? Well, the whole body in totality will do all the works that Jesus did, plus some more. For individual members, we'll have different gifts that each one of us will operate in. That is, all members won't have the same gifts. All right, let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll see this also echoed in this particular chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit, and we're talking about gifts here, because if we go back in verse 1, we see, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And then in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So we're talking here about gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. And it says here in verse 7, it's given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So we see here again that these gifts are given to the body of Christ, to every man, to profit with all. All right, every man. But, and this is the point I'm bringing out in this section of the lesson, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and so on. You notice it says to another this and to another that. That means that each one of us will, if we receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, will operate in different gifts. That is, for example, I won't operate in all these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Maybe only one or two or three, but not all of them, because it says to another faith, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy. See, there has been a little bit of a confusion in the body of Christ about this. I've heard preachers get up and say, pray to God that He'll give you all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not going to happen, folks. This is divided, it says in verse 11, to every man as the Holy Spirit wills. It's up to Jesus as the head of the church to minister, to direct the Holy Spirit when to manifest these gifts through the body of Christ. And we all won't operate in all these gifts. No one of us will operate in all these gifts. Jesus operated in all these gifts, but the Bible tells us that Jesus was given the Spirit without measure. But folks, I'll show later in a later lesson that we've been given the Spirit by measure. That means we'll never be operate in all the gifts like Jesus did. We'll never operate in all the ministries like apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, like Jesus did. I could show where Jesus operated in all those ministries while He was here on earth. But we won't. We'll operate in some of these ministries, some of us, and we'll operate in some of these gifts, some of us. So, I just want to, again, which works will believers do? Well, for individual members, we found out that all members have not the same office. We found out that we have gifts differing. We found out to one is given this, to another is given this in this particular chapter, in these different gifts of the Spirit. Now let's go down to verse 27 and read. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. That members in particular simply means that ye are the body of Christ, and members, each of whom constitutes a part of the body of Christ. All right? And God has set, notice He says, some in the church, first, apostles, secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Notice in verse 28 it says, God has set some in the church. Now, none of us will operate in all these ministries here that are given in verse 28. Some of us will, but not all of us. All right? So again, which works will believers do? Well, for individual members of the body of Christ, God has set some in the church apostles, some in the church prophets, some in the church teachers, some in the church working of miracles, some in the church with gifts of healings, some in the church with ministries of helps, some in the church with ministries of governments, some in the church with diversities of tongues. And then to nail it down, he goes on, the Holy Spirit does, to the Apostle Paul, and says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Now, we're talking about ministry gifts here. In other words, are all called to be apostles? No. Are all called to be prophets? No. Are all called to be teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Not in the ministry of tongues? No. Do all interpret tongues? Not in the gift of tongues, of interpretation of tongues? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then he goes on to talk about love. Now, I'd like to clear one thing up here. Some people have used verse 30 to say, yes, I've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I've not spoken with tongues, and I'm not meant to, because the Bible says, do all speak with tongues, and no, they don't. Folks, let me just clear something up here. If you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you should be speaking with tongues. When you receive the baptism, the unction will be there to speak in tongues. But you have to speak it out by faith. What we're talking about here when it says, do all speak with tongues, is do all have the ministry of diverse tongues? And no, they don't. Do all have the ministry of interpretation of tongues? And the answer is, no, they don't. These are individual gifts of the Spirit talked about up above in the same chapter in verses 8 through 10. All right? Diverse kinds of tongues is different than the gift of prayer, praying in tongues, giving thanks in tongues, and praising God in tongues that every believer receives at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What we're talking about here in verses 29 and 30 are ministry gifts. We're not all called to minister in tongues. We're not all called to interpret tongues. Some of us are, but some of us aren't. Okay? So I just like to clear that up. This is not talking about the individual personal gift of speaking with tongues in verse 30. Okay. I think I've made that clear. Now let's go on and see another part of the Word of God that tells us that not all believers will minister in all these gifts. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It's interesting to me that all these gifts and callings and offices and ministries are really given in three places in the New Testament, and that is in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. You notice we've been leafing back and forth between these three passages over and over in our teachings. So let's go on now and read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. See, we're talking about what God's called individual members to do in the body of Christ. That you will walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. All members are called to do something. All members of the body of Christ are called with a specific office, ministry, or gift in the body of Christ. God is beseeching us here that we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called. All right? Where ye are called. Okay? So individual members out there listening to this lesson, ye are called. It tells you right here in verse 1. Who is he talking to here? I beseech you therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And the you he's talking about here, if you go back to chapter 1, verse 1, is the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. That is, folks, born again believers. He's talking to all born again believers here, and he's saying they were to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye born again believers have been called. How are we to walk, Lord? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing or putting up with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now let's go on now in this chapter and look at verse 11, talking about Jesus. If you read up above in the verses, he's talking about Jesus here, and he's saying, and Jesus, and he, Jesus, gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So folks, the thing I want to bring out here is Jesus gave some apostles. He didn't give everybody the gift or ministry of being an apostle. He didn't give everybody the ministry of being a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher. He gave some. So the point I'm making here in this part of the lesson is, which works are believers called to do? Well, as I said before, the whole body of Christ is called to do all the works of Jesus in totality. The body of Christ in totality is called to do all the works that Jesus did, and even greater works, all right? For individual members, we found out here in Romans chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, that all members have not the same office. We're going to have specific gifts that each of us are called to do. All members won't have the same office. It says, having then gifts differing, to one is given this, to another this. And it says, God has set some in the church, apostles, prophets, and so on. Here in Ephesians, we see that we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye, members of the body, are called. Now, I've really spent quite a bit of time here trying to lay this out in a way that you will see all have different gifts, callings, ministries, and abilities that God has called each one of us to do. So far in this lesson, we have learned that believers are called to do the works of Jesus. We have learned all believers are called to do these works. We've learned which works believers will do. In other words, each believer won't do all the works, but each believer is called to do some works. That's where we are. So, God has given gifts, callings, and ministries that are specific to each individual believer and member of the body of Christ. Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained. Okay, let's go over the homework for lesson HBS 130. First question, true or false? Believers are called to do the works that Jesus did and even greater works. Is that true or false? Well, that, of course, is true. And the scripture is John 14:12. We've talked about that quite a bit. Next question, true or false? Yes, but not every believer is called to do these works. Some of us have regular jobs and families and aren't in the full-time ministry, so we aren't responsible to do any of these works. Would that be true or false? Well, that's false. Every believer is called to do some work, and we need to find out what that is, and we've talked about that a little bit in the lesson. So the answer to that question is false. True or false? Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ make up the members of the body of Christ. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. Believers on the Lord Jesus Christ are the same as members of the body of Christ. When you become a believer and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you automatically then become a member of the body of Christ. So that's true. Next question. But other people who are not yet believers are members too. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. Only believers are members of the body of Christ. Unbelievers are not members. They can become members if they are born again and receive Jesus as their Savior. But other people who are not yet believers are not yet members of the body of Christ. So that answer is false. Next question, true or false? The church as used in the Bible has the same meaning as the body of Christ. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. I ask you for the scripture that proves that, and that scripture would be Colossians 1:18. And he is, speaking about Jesus, the head of his body, the church. So the body of Christ and the church are synonymous. As a matter of fact, you might say the term believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, member of the body of Christ, and the church all mean the same thing. Next question. God has given to blank Christian an anointing and the blank to operate in some specific gifts, calling, office, or ministry. It's up to us to seek, find, and then blank in the ones he's given us. Let's fill in those blanks now. God has given to every Christian an anointing and the faith to operate in some specific gift or gifts, calling, office, or ministry. It's up to us to seek, find, and then operate in the ones he's given us. So the blanks that you fill in there with the words every, faith, and operate. Next question. God set the members blank one of them in the body as it has blank him. And then I want the scripture. The answer is God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And the scripture is 1 Corinthians 12:18. The three main things Jesus did in his non-redemptive ministry on earth were to blank, blank, and blank. Let's fill in those blanks. The three main things that Jesus did in his non-redemptive ministry on the earth were to teach, preach, and heal. So fill in those blanks with teach, preach, and heal. Those are the three things that most completely describe what Jesus did. He did other things too, but the categories of the things he did are best summarized in the words teach, preach, and heal. Next question. Which works will the body of Christ in totality do? Fill in the blank. Well, the answer to that question is all the works Jesus did plus even greater works. So the answer to that question, as I said, is all the works Jesus did plus even greater works. That's what the body of Christ in totality will do. That means all the body together. If you look at the whole body of Christ as a whole, and look at the works the total body does, it will include all the work Jesus did plus some even greater works. And we discuss those greater works as being things like ministering salvation to people, ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit to people, things like that. Next question. Which works will individual members of this body do? Well, as we found out in the lesson, individual members of the body of Christ will all fulfill the Great Commission, or should fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission meaning preaching the gospel to all the world. You know, you won't go to all the world necessarily, but each one of us will have opportunities to tell someone else about Jesus and how to receive him as their Savior. So that's a job every individual member of the body of Christ should do. Now, what else? What goes in the other blank? Specific works that Jesus calls us to do. Next question. All members have not the blank blank. And then I want a scripture. All right, let's fill in the blanks. All members have not the same office. And the scripture for that is Romans 12:4. That simply means that all members of the body of Christ won't have the same gift, calling, or ministry, or office to fulfill. Well, we have gifts differing. Well, that's the next question. I gave it away. Next question. We have gifts blank, Romans 12:6. We have gifts differing. That simply means that every member of the body of Christ won't have the same gifts. We will have gifts differing in general. So to fill in that question properly, you'd say, we have gifts differing. Next question. Name the five full-time ministry gifts given in Ephesians 4:11. What are those five full-time ministry gifts God has given to the body of Christ? Well, they are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So those are the five. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Next question, true or false? We are all required to have at least one of these five ministries. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. We're not all going to be in the full-time ministry. Some will, some won't. So the answer to this question then is false. We're not all required to have at least one of these five full-time ministries. Next question. No, for all blank have blank the same blank, and there are more offices than these. Let's fill in the blanks. No, for all Christians have not the same office, and there are more offices than these. Remember up in the question above in Romans 12:4, it says all members have not the same office. So we're not all going to have one of the five full-time ministry gifts. So in these blanks go Christians, not an office. Next question, true or false? The whole body of Christ, taken together, will do all the works of Jesus except those done for the redemption of mankind. Is that true or false? That's true. That's what John 14:12 tells us. Remember that? The works that I do shall ye do also, and even greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. So the whole body of Christ taken together will do all the works of Jesus, except those things he did for the redemption of mankind, namely going to the cross. We're never going to be doing that. He's the only one that did or ever will do that for mankind. Next question. The word says believers should walk worthy of the blank to which they are blank. What does the word say about that? The word says believers should walk worthy of the vocation to which they are called. And that is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. So in those blanks goes vocation and called. Next question. God has given at least blank gift, calling, office, or ministry that is specific to blank individual person in the body of Christ. It's up to blank to seek and blank which one I am called to minister in. Well, let's fill in those blanks. God has given at least one gift, calling, office, or ministry that is specific to each individual person in the body of Christ. It's up to us to seek and find which one I am called to minister in. So in those blanks goes one, each, us, and find. Next question. In whatever gift, calling, or ministry to which I have been called to fulfill, I will be given blank and the blank to operate in that gift, calling, or ministry by Jesus, who is the blank of the church. Let's fill in those blanks. In whatever gift, calling, or ministry to which I have been called to fulfill, I will be given faith and the power to operate in that gift, calling, or ministry by Jesus, who is the head of the church. Next question. Name five of the gifts discussed in Romans 12 that are given to various members of the body of Christ. Well, if you go back and read Romans 12, you'll find out the gifts in that listed in that chapter are prophecy, various ministries. It just said ministries, but it could, that term encompasses various ministries. Number three, teaching. Number four, exhortation. Number five, giving. And that's all I ask you to give is five, but here's a couple more. Ruling and showing mercy. So there's seven things there discussed in Romans 12 that are given to various members of the body of Christ, and I wanted you to name five. And let me go over them one more time. Prophecy, various ministries, teaching, exhortation, that simply means building up one another, giving. Now, we're all called to give, but some have a special gift of giving, and we're going to talk about that in a future lesson. Ruling, that means somebody that has the gift of overseeing others. And number seven, showing mercy. So there's seven different gifts discussed in Romans 12, and you can name any of five of those. Next question. And this, I don't have any answer for. You're going to have to answer this, and you'll have to answer this the way you believe it should be answered. Because I'm asking for you to name one gift that we have mentioned to which you think you might be called to minister, and then why you think so. And you don't have to labor on this, but, you know, of the gifts that we've mentioned in these three chapters, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4, name one gift, if you found one that we've mentioned, to which you think you might be called to minister, and then if you feel like adding this, why you think so. So there's no right or wrong answer to this question. I just want you to think a little bit about your life and think about the thing that you have faith to operate in, that you feel that it's easy for you to operate in this particular gift. And maybe some people have noticed that you have this particular gift. I'd like for you to just write in this blank a gift that you feel that you may have been called to minister in, and then give me a reason why you think so. So that then completes the homework for this lesson.